In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The night sky was clear and the moon high as Nicodemus navigated his way through the city. There was not a soul to be found as he walked along in the shadows. Will it be worth it, the visit to the one others call Rabbi, the one also known as Jesus? I have heard him speak, and I have heard reports, especially the one about what happened in the temple. He is different, and I must know more about him, he said to himself. But no one else must know. After all, I am a Pharisee and a leader of the Sanhedrin. I am a learned man. How much more can this Nazarene know of God and the law? Nicodemus found the place where they said Jesus was staying, and Jesus, not yet asleep himself, opened the door and greeted him. And they found a place just outside so that they would not be overheard. Oil lamps illumined their faces, and they looked intently into one another's eyes. It was Nicodemus who finally spoke first, and their conversation was most unusual. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." In saying this, Nicodemus became one of the few religious leaders who placed Jesus alongside the true prophets of old, not the myriad of so-called prophets who roamed among the people speaking false claims, but among the authentic prophets who acted on God's behalf. Prophets such as Samuel, Elijah, Deborah, and Isaiah. He was actually saying to Jesus, "I have counted up the score and you have passed the test. You, sir, are a true prophet of God." But Jesus was never one for flattery, and he cut to the chase by answering, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. I know why you're here. You want to get into the kingdom of God, don't you? Well, here's the thing. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus heard what Jesus was saying to him, but only in the literal sense. And so he was befuddled, confused. Born again? How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? He asked. But Jesus was not talking about flesh and blood, but about spirit. Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said to him, in essence, "You need to be born anew. To be born again in the spirit, Nicodemus, put away what you think you know, your logic, your laws, and your religious customary, and accept the gift of the Spirit. Be born again and let God's Spirit move you, and you will find what you seek." Friends, this is year B, and the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus does not end there. This morning's gospel includes the most well-known and most beloved verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Unless we have lived under a rock all our lives, we have seen and heard this verse in any number of places. We've seen it on billboards, posters, t-shirts, cross-stitch patterns, and on placards at every kind of sports game imaginable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Just think for a moment. Think for a moment of how awesome and powerful those words are. God loved us so much that God sent God's only begotten Son into the world to shed light in the midst of darkness. God sent Jesus into the world to turn it upside down, to show humankind how we ought to live in union with one another, to show us how very much God loves us and how we are to love as God loves. But as familiar and wonderful as John 3:16 is, we must remember that these words are spoken in light of Jesus knowing that he would be put to death and that his death would be on the cross. And so in speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus made reference to the story we heard in the first lesson, the story of Moses lifting up a snake in the wilderness. Life for the Israelites was not good in the land of Egypt, and it was not good in their present state either. They had been freed from slavery, but were now sick and tired of being sick and tired with wandering in the wilderness. Some of them were ready, so ready to go back, even if it meant death in the hands of their oppressors. They were hungry and thirsty. Oh, the whining and the complaining. Oy! Nothing was going right. So they were in a mood. Not only that, but their hearts had so hardened that they no longer saw the blessing awaiting them in the promised land. So they strike out, hissing and biting all the way at Moses and at God. We've all been there at one time or another, haven't we? That snaky place, as one theologian put it. We can only imagine a scene like out of the movie, Are We There Yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You just want to stop the car and put folks off and out and drive off. That is how bad things were. Where God certainly had had enough and sent poisonous serpents among the people. And they were bit and killed, many of them. Pray to the Lord to make the serpents go away from us, the people said to Moses. We are sorry, make it stop. Moses prayed to the Lord, but what does God do? God did not take away the serpents or stop them from biting. Instead, God sent another snake, a snake which Moses fashioned out of bronze and put on a pole and lifted up so that everyone who was bitten had a choice to look at it, simply look at it, and live. In much the same way, the cross that killed thousands, oppressors of Rome, thieves and murderers, became the tree of life. For Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. by being lifted up on the cross. Jesus does not just offer life. The Son of Man offers eternal life. In love, God sent Jesus not to judge the world, but to save the world. But it is not enough to look at the Son of Man like the Hebrew people looked upon the serpent. It is imperative that one must choose to believe in him in order to come from out of the darkness. It is imperative that one must choose to believe in him in order to live. To believe in Jesus is to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that we, you and I, may live. As we continue on our Lenten journey, may we ponder what that means for each and every one of us. For you see, there is a choice we each must make. What will you choose? Amen.